We're in Parakut Beis and Ochel Shabbos, and the two main malachas we're going to deal with here is Mavir and Hotzah. So Mavir is also going to be an interesting malacha, because again, Mavir normally to burn something down or to light something on fire, this doesn't mean halakas ner, which is a little bit different. It's usually a destructive action, so you'll see how the Rambam deals with that as he sets up the halacha. So there's an halacha aleph, a mavir kol shu chayev. So the shear for havara, which by the way is the one malacha mentioned in the Torah, lo suvar o'esh, any amount you're chayev in, but as long as v'hu shi'yei tzarech le'efer. So the idea is that when a person burns something, as long as he's doing it for the purpose of the ash that he's creating through burning whatever substance he's burning, that's when a person's chayev in the malacha. Avalim hivir derech hashchasa, patar, meshu mekalka. But if someone burns something down in a destructive manner, he's pater, because as we know all along, it's mekalka. V'hamavir gadishol shachavero o hasorav diraso chayev af bishu mashchis. But and this will be sound familiar from Korea. If I burn down my friend's, let's say, pile of stuff, or I burn down his house, abchayev, even though it's destructive. Why? Meisha kavonaso lehinakim misono. Right? V'ar niskara daito v'shacha chamaso. So if I go ahead and burn Joe's house down on Shabbos, we can assume I'm doing it because of some type of revenge or because I'm angry at him. And burning his house down will make me feel better. So since that's the result of the burning of the act of burning, so it's no different than Korei al Meso, and therefore you're chayev. So here again, even though the action is destructive, since my kavana is one to make me feel better, ultimately in doing so make me feel better, that's how it becomes a situation where you are still chayiv. Ukecholva b'chavera b'shas miva, shekol elu mitakin hein eitzel yitzron hara. So also like hitting my friend, all these situations are one where in doing so, the takana is that it makes me feel better and calmer. V'chein ha-madhik ha-saner, o'asa eitzim, bein le-hitzchamen, bein le-ha'ir, harei z'chayiv. So too, if a person went ahead and lit a candle or wood, whether it's to heat himself up to produce heat or whether it is to produce light, he's chayev. Mechayim es avarzo k'dei l'tzar from Amayim, where he said toldos mavir v'chayev. So what's the tolda of havara? So it's heating up what they call metal, or let's say iron. Okay, and what do you do that for? You do it to strengthen the metal. So when a person, if a person heats up, let's say, an iron rod, what do you call it, in order to strengthen it, right, and then puts it into water, okay? In other words, he has a heating rod that he is, a piece of metal that's been heated up, and then he puts it into water to cool it down, but in order to do that, that is strengthening the metal. So then he'd be chayiv in that case as well. Now, of course, what's the opposite of havara is kibui. So in halacha beis, hamechabe kol shu chayev. So it's just like havara, there's no shear, so too by kibui, any amount that a person does kibui on, you are chayev. So it doesn't matter, echad mechabe es aner, vechad mechabe es gachela shel eitz, aval hamechabe gachela shel mateches, pater. So it doesn't matter if a person puts out a candle or a coal, either way, that person is chayev. But if a person poured water over a hot piece of metal, okay. Again, the difference here is that this is not part of the process of strengthening it. He's pater. However, in this skav and the tzar, chayiv. So this is where the Rambam brings that last point, halacha aleph, together with halacha beis. In other words, when you have a hot piece of metal that's like glowing hot, if you submerge it in water for the purpose of strengthening it, you're chayiv. If you just pour water on it, stam, you be pater. Shekein lot sheha barzel osim mechames a barzel shiyasek acheles u'mechaben osav amayim k'dei lechasmo. Okay, Bezeo Litzarev, she'oso chayev, who told them mechabe, toledes mechabe. So that's what the metal people do. In other words, the blacksmiths, when they're making whatever they make, so what they do is they'll heat up the metal, and then they'll go ahead and put it into water to make it stronger. Fine. Umutu lechabez gachela she'mateches v'shosarabim k'dei she'lo yazuku barabim. However, it is permitted to put out a burning, let's say, piece of metal that's in a public domain. Why? Because you're doing it for the purpose to ensure that people don't get hurt by it. So if you saw a coal or let's say some other object that was on fire in Rishus Rabim. We'll get to a little more of this soon. You'd be allowed to put out this metal, for instance, in order that other people wouldn't get hurt. Now, some other permutations. Handosin shemen l'soch haner hadolek chayev mishum avir. So if I add oil to an oil lamp that's already lit, okay, I'm chayev because of mavir. And v'hamistapek min hashemen shebener chayev mishum mechaveh. And so too, if I remove oil from an oil lamp when the when it's lit, I'm also over kibbutz. So even though those actions aren't actually the act of lighting or putting out, since we're dealing with the fuel that supplies the fire, Havara and Kibwe can apply to both of those as well. Okay, Halacha Gimel is a well-known halacha, a tough one. Deleika Shenafla B'Shabbos, all right, Amechaba Osa Mine Ibud Mamon Chayv. So if something gets on fire on Shabbos, let's say my house, okay, and no one's inside. So if I put out that fire because I'm afraid of the financial loss I will suffer, you're chayv and kibbutz. She'ein ibud mamon docha Shabbos el ibud nefashos. Because a financial loss never pushes off Shabbos, only if there's the threat of the loss of life. And that's not the case here. So therefore, lifikach yatsu b'nei adam, kedei shelo yamusu, right? V'anichu ha'esh t'lohet, v'afilu serefes kol medina kula. So what's the halacha? So everyone should, if the house is on fire, everyone should get out of the house, okay? And you have to let the place burn down. Not only that, even if the entire, let's say, neighborhood was on fire, let's say all of Chashmo, there was a fire in each house in Chashmo and everything's burning up, as long as there's no one inside those houses and no one's in actual any danger, everything has to be allowed to burn down. You're not allowed to put out the fire in those cases. Okay, Alacha Dalet. So that's where halacha, in a sense, relents a bit, so to speak. In other words, while it's true that I can't take water to put out the fire, I am allowed to construct something, some type of barrier to ensure, even if it's filled with water, okay, to ensure the fire doesn't spread. So what I would be allowed to do, for example, is let's say my house is on fire. So in order to ensure the fire doesn't spread, I could set up, let's say, like some troughs with water right in front of the fire area, knowing full well that when the fire hits that, the fire will go out. That's fine. Okay. Again, you can't put the fire out directly, but you would be allowed to do something to prevent the fire from traveling. So I could even take vessels filled with water and put them and lay it, like make a wall out of them, so to speak, in front of the fire, knowing full well that doing so, the fire will go out. Nonetheless, that's fine because that's called Shegram Kibui Mutter. Okay, Gram Kibui is a big area of Grama, but basically, Gram Kibui here means is that I'm not doing the action of putting the fire out. I'm setting up a situation where inevitably the fire will go out, but there's no act that I'm doing that is making the fire itself go out. So too, the kofin ka'ara al gabe haner b'shul shalot tochaz b'kara. I'm also allowed to put like a bowl over a lit candle. Okay, so let's say because I don't want the light, so to speak, to catch up on the roof. So you'd be allowed to cover a candle as well. Again, you're not putting out the fire, but you are doing something that that eventually will make the fire go out. Halacha hey, on that note, teva sido migdal she'achas behena or, okay, maybe or gadi yichiyotzeba midvarim she'in or melahetes osan, uposho ala katze, she'adayin lo nifshav, kadei shalot tav or shama'esh. So just like by a house, I can set up those mechitzas of water. Let's say on a smaller level, let's say my, I have a jewelry box that's made out of wood, and it lights on fire. So what am I allowed to do? I could take some object here, or gadi, but any object that I know itself won't catch fire, and I can go ahead and spread it out over that part had caught fire, right? And to make sure it doesn't spread anymore. So just like I could do it on large things, I could do it on small things as well. Again, you have to be very careful. You can't put out the fire, but you can certainly set up a situation to ensure that the fire will go out. Halacha Vav continues with that. So on a similar note, okay, in Halacha Vav, Talisha Achaz Baha'or, okay, so let's say you have a shirt, okay, that goes on fire. Poshta u'miskaseba vim kafsa kafsa. So now we're going to get to the limit now of how far a person can go insofar as when it's mutter to allow a fire to go out. Okay, so what you're allowed to do is, let's say I'm not suggesting doing this. Okay, but let's say you have a little bit of your let's say your shirt starts getting on fire, or let's say it's a scarf. So you'd be allowed to spread it out and fold it over you. Okay, now you're doing that because in doing so, it's going to help the fire go out. Okay, but the point is that vim kafsa kafsa means, if you did it this way and the fire ends up going out as a result of your action, so be it. It's okay. It's okay if the fire went out. V'chein sefer Torah she'achaz bo ha'or poshto v'korah bo v'im kaba kaba. So too, let's say you have a sefer Torah, chas v'shalom, that gets on fire. So you'd be allowed to unroll it, and knowing full well that in unrolling the sefer Torah, that might slow down or prevent the fire from extending, and you can read from it. And if the fire goes out as a result, it goes out, no problem. So too, you could place a jug of water or say a little bit of water next to the area that hasn't lit up yet. And if the fire hits that and therefore it goes out, and that's fine. Shachach ner dolok al gabe tavla noris a tavla v'unofa bin kava kava. Let's say I left a burning candle on my table. Okay, I'm allowed to go ahead and knock the table over, knowing full well the candle will fall on the floor, and if it goes out, it goes out. Aval im hinichu mi ba'erev afu bishakaba asur litaltala. Right, but if I intentionally placed it on the table, what do you call it, before Shabbos started, then when it goes out, you have an iser muksa. We'll get the muksa down the road. But the point here is, again, this is another limitation of kiboy, where you're doing, again, similar to gram kiboy. You're doing things that you know very well will eventually make the fire go out, and yet it's perfectly mutter to do such a thing. Halacha zayin, okay, nachri shaba lechavos ein omer lo kaba ve'altechava neishen shvisaso aleinu. So let's say chashmonim's on fire, and the Gentile fire department comes to put out the fire. Okay, let's say they show up. We don't tell them to do kiboy, right? Because that's remember, Amir L'Akam is only by Durbanan. But we also don't tell them not to put it out because there's no idea of Shvisa. Okay, that's important. Aval katan shebal l'chavos ein shomer lo. But if a child comes along and says he wants to do it, we don't allow him to do it. V'hushia osal das aviv. Right, aval midas atzmo ain't based in mitzvah alav lafisha. Okay, so if a child, went ahead and decided he wanted to help put the fire out, so if he's doing it because his father told him to, we tell him not to. But if he does it on his own, so based in steps aside and lets him do it. Ubidaleka hitiru lomar kol mechaba in a mafsid. So whenever there's a fire, right, the Chazal taught us that if there's a fire on Shabbos, you can tell people, you're not really going to lose, okay? So, meaning, even though you may suffer financial loss, the fact that you are not violating Shabbos is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will repay you for, or you won't really suffer in the end. But what's important is that when it comes to the fire department showing up, so again, you can't tell them to put the fire out, right? But you don't have to tell them not to. You don't have to run and tell them, by the way, it's usher to do this because there's no idea of Shabbos in their reality. Okay, now comes Hotzah, Halacha Ches. Now remember Hotzah, I think I mentioned before, Hotzah, as Tosfos calls it, is Melechas Garua. It's a different kind of Melacha because it doesn't have the normative, creative structure that every other Melacha has. Because by Hotzah, what you're essentially doing is you're not creating something new. You're essentially taking an object from one domain and bringing it to another domain to allow for usage in that domain. So the creativity is attached really to the fact that I can now use this object in a different area. But you're not creating something new. There's no new object to point to. I can't say there's a hole or there's a flame or there's a building. There's no object. And as you'll also see, Hotzah, which we'll get to in a second, has two parts to it. It has what's called Akira and Hanacha. So Akira is picking up the object, and Hanacha is putting the object, is picking up the object in one domain, and Hanacha is putting it down in that other domain. So the Rambam lays down Halacha Ches and explains, Hotzah mirshus l'rishus m'lacham abas m'lachasi. So he wants to make sure you know that Hotzah from one rishus to another rishus is one of the 39 malachas. The afapi, and even though, even though it is this is one of the things that God told Moshe at Har Sinai, Harayu Omer B'Torah, Ish V'Ishal Yasu On Melacha L'Tribas HaKodesh, V'Yikala Al Mehavi. So now it's interesting that the Rambam, there are those who derive Hotzah from the Mun, okay? But again, it's an allusion to it by what the Isser was in Bishalach of Bnei Yisrael going out to get the Mun. However, the Rambam learns it out. This is a rare thing for the Rambam to do, but the Rambam is showing you how we derive out the idea of Hotzah straight from the Torah. So this is talking about in Parshas Vayakel, when everyone was bringing their truma for the base for the Mishkan, okay, and at one point it says Vayikala Amavi, so the people stopped bringing. There was no more bringing of truma for the Mishkan. Halomadat shahava malacha kore osa, okay. V'chein lamnu piyashmua shemavir b'shutz rabba mitchilas. Let me get that in a second. So what do we learn from that? We see that bringing the truma, okay, bringing any of these objects is considered a malacha. Now, what bringing are they referring to? It must be hava from one rishus to another rishus. So the Rambam deduces from this pasuk. That's where you see hotzah in the Torah, and you can argue the reason why the Rambam's insisting on emphasizing this the source of hotzah being in the Torah is because again hotzah doesn't really fit the normative construct of malacha. So too we also know v'chein lamnu mipi yeshmua shemavir birshus rabim mitchilas arba l'sof arba. So there's one other interesting expression of the Isser Hotzah that is different than going from one domain to another. In other words, normally, we know Midoraisa, there's Rishus Rabim, and there's Rishus Yachid. Okay, so Midoraisa, taking my object from Rishus Yachid into Rishus Rabim, would be a problem. But if I'm in Rishus Rabim itself, okay, there's another type of Hotzah, which is I can go literally means that if I carry something from the beginning of an Arba Amos square to the end of an Arba Amos square, it'd be no different than Motzi Rishos L'Rishos. So there's another way a person can be over a Hotzah, that's if in a Rishos Rabim, he does Akira and Hanacha, right, from the beginning of an Arba Amos by Arba Amos area to the end of that Arba Amos by Arba Amos area. And we'll soon see cases in these various halachas of this being the case. Okay, so let's understand a little bit more about how tzah works. Okay, ena motzi rishus l'rishus chayev ad sheyotze kashir hamoel. Right, so you're only chayev in tzah. Again, like he introduces with every malacha, there has to be a shear. So what's the shear here? The shear here has to be one where there is some benefit or some usefulness that I get right from the object from going from A to B. Okay, so the shear is shear moel. Literally, that means a benefit or usefulness, okay, by having it from my public, let's say, or private domain, or vice versa. Mereshus yachid l'reshus rabim, o mereshus rabim l'reshus yachid, doesn't matter which way I go. Now, what do you have to do? V'yakor mereshus zu, v'aniach mereshus shnia, okay? So I have to pick it up from one reshus, carry it, and then place it down in the other reshus. Avalim akar v'lo niach, but let's say I did akira and not hanacha, o niach v'lo akar, okay, that's the second exception. So if I only did one of the two, oh shehotzi pachos mikashir pater, or if I took out less than shir amoel, I'd be pater. So those are the three ways three situations that won't be chayiv in hotzah. If I only did akira, if I only did anacha, and if the shir I took out was not enough, which we'll get to soon, to be something that is sufficient to make use of it in the rishus I take it to. V'chein hamavir mitchilas arba l'sof arba rishus rabim. So the same thing happens within the Arba Amos area of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It has to be that I do Akira and Hanacha and the appropriate shear all in that area. Okay. Halacha Yud. So what are some of the wrinkles with this? Hazorek. Okay. So Hazorek Mereshus L'Rishus. Okay. So if a person throws an object from one Rishus to another Rishus, or oh hamoshit, okay. And what's moshit? Moshit is handing the object from one person from. And there's a case in the beginning of Shabbos, but I hand something from my rishus to the other rishus. Harizah told us motzi v'chayv. Okay, so these are toldos of hotzah. V'chein azorak or moshit biyado mitchilas arba l'sof arba. Harizah told us motzi v'chayv. So to zorek or moshit in the case of the arba amos area in the rishus of rabbim, I'd also be chayev. Vazorek el achayat pater. But if I throw the object in an abnormal way, then I would be pater. So again, zorek, okay, which is throwing, and moshit, which literally means handing the object off from one domain to another. Both those situations, I am chayev. Okay. Halacha yud aleph, hamotzi miksatz achayves, okay, mershus mishtei rishuyas elu l'rishus shnia pater. Okay. So, let's say I do hotzah on a part of the object, okay, which is going to explain what that means, okay, from one rishus to the other rishus, okay, then I'd be pater. Ad sheyotzi es kol achayves kulo mirishus zu l'rishus zu. So I'm only chayev once I take out the entirety of the object from one rishus to another rishus. So what does that mean? Kupa shehi malea chafetzim, right? So let's say I have a box that's filled with stuff, okay? Let's say it's filled with baseballs, like 30 baseballs. I feel malea chardal, even if it's filled with mustard seeds. The hotzi ruba mirishus zu lirishus zu pater. Ad sheyotzi es kol hakupa. Okay, interesting. So technically speaking, midaraisa, if I had a box of 30 baseballs, right, and let's say what do you call it? I 28 of them I took out into the rishus rabim, right? I would still be putter until I take out all 30. V'chein kol adom elzeh shakli mesim kol sheish bo kachef etzecha. Because what the kli does is it takes everything inside and makes it into one entity. So even though you can argue, when I'm taking the baseballs out, you can argue that each one is a discrete thing. We don't look at it that way. We say if it started off 30 baseballs in the box is one entity. And therefore, it's only when the entirety of the box is brought outside that I can now say I've done hotzah. So that's an interesting exception, so to speak, of how hotzah works. Hold on. Halacha yud beis. Now, hamotzi bein bimino, bein bismolo, Bein b'socheko, o shi yatsa b'mos, tsurin lo b'sadino, chayev. Mivnei shehotzi k'derech hamotzin. So now, one second, Ron. So now the Rambam's going to talk about how, when you do hotzah, so there are normal ways to take out an object and abnormal ways. I know, I think everybody knows, like, the old business of putting your keys on your belt loop, as an example. So the Rambam says here that anyone who takes out an object, right, whether it uses your right hand or your left hand, meaning it doesn't matter if you're righty or lefty, okay, whether it is on your shirt, or whether it's whether it's money that's bound up in your clothing, you're chayev because this is the normal way that people take things out. V'chem emotzi al ksefo chayev. All right, even if someone puts something on their shoulder, you're chayev. Afal pi shemasu lemala mesar tefachim rishus rabim. Even if the object is 10 tefachim above the rishus rabim. Shekein haya masa b'nei kahas v'mishkan lemala me'asara shenemar baka seifi so. So we see by the B'nai Kahas, when they carried their stuff in the Mishkan, it was above 10 tefachim, and it's still considered carrying. The Chol Melachos of Mishkan, Lom L'Nosan, right? And we, as we know, all the Melachos of the Mishkan, we learn those out from Melachos Shabbos, or all learned out from Melachos Mishkan. Okay, Lach Yud Gimel. Ava Hamotzi L'Achar Yado B'Raglo B'Fiv U'Merfako B'Ozno V'Saro V'Kis Shetafer B'Bigdo U'Pi Kis L'Mata Bein Bege L'Beged B'Fi Bigdo B'Mana'lo Uvisandala. Okay, so now these are ways that people don't normally carry. Okay, so if it's on the back of my hand, okay, that's an important one. If it's on the back of your hand, if it's on your foot, okay, if it's in your mouth, if it's on the crook, on the like your elbow area, or like you hold it like next to your chest underneath your bicep, your hair, okay, if there's a pocket, sewn into your pants, let's say. But for whatever reason why, the mouth of the pocket's facing down, okay? Or bein beged lebeged, b'fi bigdo, in the hem area, or on your shoes. All these are putter, because that's not how people normally carry things out. So that's an important point. And again, that's what makes hotzah a little bit unique. Hotzah, there's a way to take things outside. And if a person doesn't follow, the normal way to take things outside, then it's not considered a maisa hotzah. A hotzah only registers as hotzah if it's done the normal way that people take things out.